John and the deacons are downstairs in their deacon training meeting. I don't know exactly what they do down there, but I wasn't invited. So I'm up here. Now, Pastor Allen asked me to cover the lesson for tonight because of that training. And so praise the Lord for the training our deacons can get. We praise the Lord for the leadership in our church. There are, to be honest, there are sometimes on Sunday mornings, I sit in the back of the auditorium and I look at all the men in this church. And I look at these men who I know are godly and are leaders and are doing their best to lead their families in the right way. And that is so encouraging. It really is. It's encouraging. I think it's unusual, too, to have a church like this. Man, we should thank the Lord for that. And so those deacons are in their training meeting, and so that's what's going on tonight. And we are actually on our last lesson of the exchange program, lesson 10. And so the topic of the lesson is wisdom and the will of God. And so let's begin by turning in our Bibles to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and we will look at verses 15 and 16 and 17. So I'm going to read it out loud. Please follow along in your Bible as I read it, and then we will get into the lesson here. Ephesians 5, 15, 16, and 17. Paul writes this: "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Okay, just let those words sink into your mind as we get into this lesson. And I'm going to kind of do a helicopter overview of the lessons that we've already looked at. And I'm going to see if you can reach way back in your minds all the way to actually like 3 months ago. See if you can remember what the very first lesson of the exchange discipleship program was. Anybody remember? Very first one. Brother Short. I don't think that was the first one. Although that was is very close. Someone else. Not baptism. Brian? No, I think I heard someone say it on this row here. My new inheritance, understanding what I received in Christ. Now, the teens have an advantage because I reviewed this with them every week we went over it. So, the first one was my new inheritance. We get saved and we're wondering, what in the world happened to me? And the first lesson is understanding everything that happened to us when we received Jesus Christ. Okay, number two was already spoken. My Bible, understanding the foundational nature of the Word of God. Anybody want to venture the guess of number three? Kiryak. I'm sorry? I can't even remember. Yep. Baptism and church membership. Okay, baptism and church membership. Understanding public identification with Christ, that's baptism. And joining a Bible-believing church, covenanting together with people of like faith, joining together with them. Oops, I pressed the next button. That was my flesh understanding the inability of the flesh to please God. Do you remember those funny pictures that Pastor Allen or I showed you? Kind of the illustrations of the flesh. And sometimes we end up feeding the flesh. And there's a picture of the cartoon character giving like cake and pizza and ice cream, whatever, to this big crazy monster that represents the flesh. Sometimes in Romans it says to make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. And so we're told not to feed the flesh, not to provide opportunity for the flesh. Okay, anybody remember number five? Just shout it out. I'm hearing something. All right, let's just go for it. This was my new identity, understanding my union with Christ. Okay, I've become a new person. When I received Christ, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Haven't you experienced that? Maybe those of you especially that got saved later on in life. I mean, you got saved, and that just totally changed your life. You're a new person, and that happens because of your identity with Christ. Number six, lesson six was the Holy Spirit, understanding the power for change. And we kind of got carried away with the Holy Spirit. Well, not in the sense of like a charismatic carried away, but we decided to go two lessons instead of just one under the Holy Spirit, because the next lesson was so important under the category of the Holy Spirit, talking about my spiritual gift, understanding my role in the local church. Lesson eight was the world. And we explored what the world is, what worldliness is, what it means to be worldly, and how we are to live our lives in this world. Lesson number nine is worship, understanding personal devotions. And this lesson is now wisdom and the will of God. Wisdom and the will of God. So really the purpose of this lesson, as I think about what are, maybe you can think about this. Let's say that you lead someone to Christ, and then they move away, or they're planning to move away, and you only have 10 weeks with them, and you can only meet with them for like 45 minutes each week. And that's all the time you have to tell them everything they need to know about living a successful Christian life. What would you tell them? I mean, as you think about, man, the things I've learned spiritually and the things that become so important for me, how could I impart to them what is so important? And this is kind of what this series is meant to do. And this last one is kind of meant to give a little bit of a push toward wisdom. In other words, there's going to be a lot of things that you'll encounter in life that you'll need to use wisdom about. You'll need to have a discernment of the will of God in order to make the right decisions about these areas. So wisdom and the will of God. And the purpose of this lesson is to help believers know what, understand what God's will is and how to know what God wants them to do. I'm just going to give you three different scenarios. See if you can relate in any way to these scenarios and the struggle that these people are experiencing. Take Bill, 15-year-old boy. He's squirming in his pew during a special service. The preacher is talking about surrendering to God's will for his life. So as a 15-year-old, Bill realizes he has a lot ahead of him. He wants to be successful and happy in his life, but even more than that, he felt a deep stirring to do something significant with his life. Something that would last, something that God would be pleased with. But what should he do? Bill loved art. He was good with computers. Maybe he should become a graphic design artist. Maybe he should become a computer programmer. Then occasionally he feels passionately about entering full-time ministry. It all seems so complicated. What is God's will for my life? He asks. Or take Ashley. I just pulled that name out of my head. Some guy begins asking her out. She's college age. Is he the right one? How is she supposed to know? How does she know what God's will is? Take Joe and Linda, a couple with young children. Joe's offered a job in another city, pays better, seems like better circumstances should they move. How do they know what God's will is? All right. Another couple, on a smaller scale perhaps, considering buying a new vehicle. How do I know what God's will is? And that's a question that we all face, right? Okay, these are the sort of decisions that we make and that we face. And the question is, how do we know what God's will is? So here are the questions that we are going to try to answer in this lesson. What is God's will? What do we mean when we say God's will? How can I know God's will? And how do I bring God's will to bear on my decisions, both large and small? And so if we get through this tonight, Lord willing, all three of those questions will be answered, right? Okay, what is God's will? How can I know God's will? And how do I bring God's will to bear on my decisions, both large and small? Now, we're going to take a quiz. Okay, you ready for this? So there should be pencils. Are there pencils in the pews? Are there? There are pencils back there? I don't see any pencils up here. Okay, or something to write with and something to write on. I want you to do this because I want you to actually record what your answer is. And now, when you see the questions, you're probably going to get all suspicious and be like, okay, this is just a trick quiz. And I'll say, okay, yes, it is a trick quiz. But I at least want you to think about what you would answer for this quiz. A quiz about God's will. So, what is God's will? The question is, it's only one question, so not too complicated. And there are, it's multiple choice. How many like multiple choice? Like multiple choice? All right. God's will is, A, everything that God has planned for your life, whether or not you know it right now. Okay. Don't write anything down until I give all the answers, because you want to see all these choices. B, what you feel God leading you to do when you are walking closely with Him, even if it doesn't make sense to you or anyone else. Is that God's will? C, what God wants you to do as He clearly reveals it in His Word. D, all of the above. Or E, none of the above. All right. When someone says, I think this is God's will for my life, or when you talk to someone else and you say, I don't think that's God's will, or I know this is God's will, which of those answers most closely resembles what you're thinking or what you understand to be people thinking? This is something that you can write down on your own. Okay, you got your answer? Okay, great. Okay, there tends to be a lot of confusion about what is meant by God's will. But what I want us to do before I give the answers to this, or before I discuss these answers, maybe let's just get some feedback. Let's discuss the answers now. Okay, what do you think? Oh, we have some answers back there. Okay, white shirt, yes, sir. You think it's C? Okay. Okay. Anyone else want to discuss it? Want to discuss what you think is most closely to the answer? Yes, Brother Short. Sorry. Okay, and D, and all of the above. Okay, all of the above. All right. Anybody else have a different take on this? Or no one wants to contend with Brother Short? Concur. Okay. Okay. Yes, Lynn. You'd say A. Okay. And so you're seeing God's will as everything that God has planned for your life, whether or not you know it. Okay. Okay. Anyone else? Yes. Okay. Okay, great. You're picking up on the fact, you must have been a good test taker in college. You're picking up on the fact that there's some nuances there, the words that we'll discuss here. Let's I'll come back to this, but what I want us to do is look at some specific scripture passages that mention God's will, because where do we want to go to find out what is meant by God's will? We want to go to Scripture. Actually, you don't need to turn these because I have them on the screen here. And I'll say from the outset that when you look at the word or the set of words, God's will or His will or the will of God or the will of the Lord or the will of Christ or whatever, when you look at any of the sort of words that link God and His will, they generally fall into two categories, okay? And you'll see, as I go through these verses, that you'll see that they tend to fall in one of two categories. And we're going to ask the question, as I put each reference up, I'm going to ask this question. Is God's will in this passage something I can do or know? K-N-O-W, okay? Is God's will in this passage something that I can do or something that I can know? Okay, John 6:40, and this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Okay, is this something that I can, is God's will expressed here, is that something I can know or do? What do you think? You don't think that you can know it or do it? All right. What God is willing, and let me explain this. What God is willing here is that people believe on Christ. Okay. Is that something that can be, maybe I'll pray this, is that something that can be done? Believe in Christ. Yes. Okay. So yes, this would fall in the category. This is something about God's will that can be known or done. What about this? And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and they do it according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Before I ask the question, let me explain this. This is saying that God does whatever he wants. He's doing things in heaven. He's doing things on earth. No one can restrain him. No one can even question his activities, even if they know it. Okay? Does that make sense? This is saying that God simply, whatever God wills, he does. Now, the question is this something that I can always know or do? Okay, no. There are things that God does in heaven. I have no idea. There's things that God will do in the future. I have no idea what he's going to do. There's things that God has done in the past. I have no idea what God did. There are some things that I do know, but not everything. Okay? Now, Acts 21:13-14. This is when Paul is on his way to Jerusalem, and the people that he's talking with think there's a pretty good chance that when he goes to Jerusalem, they're going to arrest him there. And so they're begging him, please don't go to Jerusalem. It doesn't look good for you there. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and break my heart? I'm ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done. Is that something that could be known or done? They were saying this, not knowing what would happen to Paul, right? They're just saying that whatever happens, may God's will be done. Okay? This will become a little clearer as we look at this passage. James 4:14, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Okay. Is God's will here something that we could know for sure? What do you think? James is contrasting, or he's saying that these are people who say, we're going to go into a city, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to make all these plans. Now, they say, no, you should say, if the Lord will. Is that something that you can do or know for sure? No, you can't, right? That's why you say, if the Lord will, because it's not up to you. Now, what about this? Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Okay, in complete contrast, this is something that we should do, and or know, rather. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Okay, so we're seeing two categories of thought here. We're seeing on the one hand, what God wants to happen, and then things that God has ordained will happen. You see the difference there? All throughout Scripture, as you see references to the will of God, there are some things that it says these are things God wants to happen, and there are other things that God ordains will absolutely happen. Okay, think with me here, maybe get some ideas. What are some things you know God wants to happen, but won't absolutely come to pass? Are there things that God wants, but they won't absolutely... Yes, Brother Short? Yes. He wants everyone to be saved, but do we know, is everyone going to be saved? Some will reject him. Brother Kiever, you're going to say the same thing. I think that's probably maybe the most clear example of something. It says the Lord is not willing that any should perish. That's not his will for people to perish, but does it happen? Absolutely. Okay, can you think of some things that God has ordained absolutely will happen? That you know this certainly will happen. No question about it. Sorry? Return of Christ. And that's the perfect example. That is one of the few things within this aspect of God's will that we actually know. Right? Okay. So there are some things that God wants that don't happen. That's one aspect of his will. There are other things that God wills, in which he wills, and they absolutely will come to pass. Okay. We have two names for these kinds of wills. Does anybody know what they are? There's God's moral will, And this is what we're going to call God's sovereign will. Okay? So when we hear the phrase God, the moral will of God, that is what God wants to happen, not necessarily take place. Sovereign will of God is what absolutely will take place. Okay? So let's ask some questions about these two different kinds of will. How much of God's sovereign will has He revealed to us? Brian just mentioned one of those, the return of Christ. What are the things in which the future of God's, which things about God's sovereign will He has revealed? I'm sorry? Okay. Whatever's in the Bible. Yes, Brother Short? Okay. That is within God's, certainly within God's sovereign will. Good. What else has God ordained within His sovereign will? Yes. Yes, he's going to be put into the lake of fire and he'll be there for all of eternity. That is something that we know is within God's sovereign will. What are some of the sort of things we don't know within God's sovereign will? What time he'll return? Brother Short? Okay. How much money I'll make this year? Okay, this is great, okay? How many of you in this room, let's see, a lot of teenagers, so you guys and girls want to get married someday. Is it within, well, you know, you're going to assume maybe that's God's will for you. But do you know who you're going to get married to? No, that's an aspect of God's sovereign will that you simply don't know. I saw another hand. Yes, Brother Cooper? Okay, good, good. That's a very good point. We don't know who will be saved. Okay, there are so many things within God's sovereign will we simply don't know. Now, what about God's moral will? What do we know about God's moral will for sure? Now, the God's moral will is what God wants to happen, what God wants you to do. Right? Okay, great. Okay, good. Okay, serve and glorify. Those are both aspects, clearly aspects of God's moral will. Okay. Now, and we'll get into this in just a little bit, but it's God's moral will for you to glorify Him. Now, Brother Short mentioned how much money you're going to make this coming year. Okay, so God wants you to glorify Him, and God wants you to serve Him, and in so doing, you're going to make money. And as to how, but as to how much money you're going to make, you don't know. So there's an aspect of God's sovereign will and an aspect of God's moral will, but you simply do God's moral will, not necessarily having to know what God's sovereign will is going to be, right? Okay? But here's what we tend to get confused. We tend to think, when we hear about God's sovereign will, we tend to think, when we hear it say, is that God's will for your life? Or I believe this is God's will for my life. We tend to be thinking about which will? Well, I guess I hope that we think about God's moral will, but what I get, sometimes I get the sense, and maybe this isn't your sense, but I get the sense that people are thinking about God's details of God's sovereign will. Like, what is God's will? Like, should I buy a Honda or a Toyota? Which one is God's will? Okay, does God have a sovereign will as to whether you buy a Honda or a Toyota? Does God have a sovereign will for that? In other words, you're going to buy something, and will God have had planned what that was? Yes, absolutely. Okay, do you know, Matt, do you know what it was, what it will be before you do? No, okay. So how do you decide? God's moral will. Okay, so when we got to get something clear in our minds, when we think, what is God's will for my life? We simply have to be thinking, what does God want me to do? Not what is in my future. Not whether I'm going to buy a Honda or Toyota, not whether I'm going to make $200,000 or $300,000 next year. That's supposed to be funny, okay? But whether I should work hard, okay? Whether I should, those are aspects of God's moral will. So let's keep this clear in our minds. Okay, let's explore a little further God's moral will. Where does it come from? It springs from God's character. Okay, it springs from God's character. I'm just going to read some scripture passages to you. Ephesians 5:1, be therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love. First Peter 1:16, it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Expression of God's moral will. God wants you to be holy, tied to His character, for I am holy. Okay? God's moral will, what He wants you to do, springs from who He is. God is a holy God. God is a just God. God is a loving God. God is a merciful God. And His moral will springs from who He is. Okay, that's the first point to understand about God's moral will. God's moral will is fully revealed in the Bible. And this is very, very important to understand. We know the passages, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's all given that the man of God may be perfect or complete. It's all given to equip us. There's nothing more that we need outside God's Word. Brother Kieber just held up his Bible expressing that. There's nothing that we need outside God's Word to make you understand more of what God's moral will is. It's all revealed in the Scripture. It's fully revealed in the Bible. It's fully, as I alluded to, it's fully able to equip us to please Him, and it touches every aspect and moment of our lives. All right, let me ask you this question. Is God concerned about what actions you take? Yes or no? Okay, absolutely. Okay, so specific, God doesn't want you to lie. God doesn't want you to steal. God wants you to serve others. God wants you to love others. Those are specific actions that we could evaluate whether they're right or wrong within the light of Scripture. Okay, now, is God also concerned about your attitudes? Not just your actions, but your attitudes? Okay, yet, can anybody give me some Scripture for that? Any Scripture do you know in which God's moral will informs not just your actions, but your attitudes? Be angry and sin not, okay? Be kind one to another. I'm sure that the Fehrenkrog can think of illustrations of their own children. Maybe they're doing a right action, but how's the attitude? Maybe not so great. Maybe all parents can identify that. Someone else, sorry. Yes. Okay, that's a great one, a cheerful giver. And yes, we can give. That's an action that God is pleased with. But if you're giving grumpily or you're giving just because, oh, I feel like I have to, see, that's contradicting God's moral will. Someone back here. I think I saw a hand. Oh, someone said something. Brian? Okay. Yes, okay. Okay, good. Oh. Good, okay. So God's moral will informs our actions and informs our attitudes. And I saw one more hand back here. Okay, good, good. That is an attitude which God's moral will informs. All right, here's another question. Does God's moral will speak not only to our actions, not only to our attitudes, but to our goals? Does God tell us what goals we should have? As it was mentioned, glorify God. Okay, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, here's what your goal needs to be. Glorify God. Okay, what's another goal that we're given? Sorry? Okay, press toward the mark. Pursuing Christ-likeness. All right? Okay, so here's a breakdown of what God's moral will informs every aspect and moment of our lives, including our goals. And I have some scripture here that indicate goals informed by the moral will of God. Attitudes, as we already talked about, actions in accomplishing these goals, and an overall perspective on life. And that's important too. And maybe there may be some overlap between attitudes and perspective, but we'll, for the sake of this lesson, we'll distinguish the two. Okay, so we can ask the question. When you are making a decision, we're talking about God's will and wisdom. When you are making a decision, the first thing that you could ask is this. Am I making this decision as part of an overall goal that God tells me should be mine? Or is my goal something different? You see why that's important? You can be making a lot of money. As an example, you can be making a lot of money, and you can be making some very godly actions regarding your, and very ethical actions regarding your making of money. But is that your goal, though? You see the difference? Okay. Or is your goal to serve God and to glorify Him in whatever way you can? You want your kids to turn out right. You want your kids, well, let's say this, you want your kids to love God. And in so doing, you're doing very godly things in training them. But is it truly your goal for them to love God, or do you want them simply to reflect on you to boost your esteem? Right. So we need to ask ourselves the question, are our goals being informed by God's moral will? Are my attitudes, as I accomplish this goal, is my attitude, is it one of pride? Or is it one of, maybe it's, is it one of bitterness? Is it one of anger? Or is it one of cheerfulness? Or is it one of kindness? Or mercy? Or trust? And or courage? What sort of attitudes do I have as I accomplish these God-given goals? And are they informed by God's moral will? And of course, most objectively, the actions that I use when I accomplish these goals. I think the actions themselves are probably the easiest to evaluate in terms of God's moral will. The things that are more difficult are more, I'd say that actions are the easiest to say that's wrong or that's right. It's hard to see a big picture sort of thing like my overall goal is off. You see what I mean there? Or my whole attitude is just been wrong about this. Okay, so we have to make decisions. We want to think, are my goals informed by God's moral will? Are my attitudes informed by His moral will? Are my actions informed by His moral will? Is my perspective on life informed by His moral will? Okay? Now, let's go back to Ephesians 5. The skill or discipline of bringing God's moral will to bear on our lives is called wisdom. The skill or discipline of taking what we know, this is God's will revealed to me, what does it look like fleshed out in Jonathan Threlfall's life? Or Doug Cleve's life? Or Abby Rowland's life? Okay, what does God's moral will look like as it's fleshed out in my life? That's called wisdom. And the thing that's important about this is that God does not speak specifically to every decision that you're... Well, He does speak specifically to every decision, but He doesn't reveal what you should do in every decision. Like, He's not going to tell you whether you should buy a Honda or a Toyota if you're looking for a car. Now, obviously, you know you should buy a Honda, but He doesn't tell you that. I love Hondas because I have one, and it works well. But imagine a life in which God actually revealed every single choice you were to make. You get up in the morning, and you walk to your book of God's will for you. And you turn the pages, let's say, what's today, the 9th? Is it already the 9th? Okay, let's say tomorrow morning, suddenly the world changes, and God's whole way of working changes, and He has given you this gigantic book that tells you every choice you should make. Wake up in the morning, flip the page. You go down, find the date that you're on, January 10th, and you look at the clock. Okay, it's 6:30, all right? And so you look at 6:30. Okay, God's... Get out of bed. Okay, do that. All right. Okay, done that. Look at the next. Okay, 6:31, because it took you like 60 seconds to get out of bed. 6:31. Brush your teeth. Okay, do that. Okay. That would be a huge book, right? Okay, that's not the way that God reveals His moral will to us. He gives us principles. He gives us manifestations of His character. And we take those principles and we take, yes, those commands, and we apply them to our life. See, God didn't tell you to wake up at 6:30 this morning, but you don't know verses about being on time, about being a good worker, about not being a sluggard, or being a person of your word, or being a man of commitment, and you apply those, and that's That's why you do that. Okay? Does that make sense to you as far as what the wisdom, this role of wisdom in the will of God? God hasn't given us specific commandments regarding every single decision of our life, but He does expect us to use wisdom, and it is a sin to be foolish. It's not just an alternate way of living or just like, oh, he's just... It is a sin to be foolish. When you know the will of God, when you know what God wants you to do and you don't do it, that is sin. And that's why I had you turn to Ephesians 5, because it says this in verse 17, Wherefore, be ye not unwise, understanding what the will of the Lord is, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. God has one of God's moral commandments is be wise. And to be wise means taking the effort to apply God's word, God's moral will, to bear on your life. Okay, so how do we... let me just show you some aspects in which the Scripture models this way of living. Scripture... I'm sorry, I don't actually have that. Let me just talk you through these. Sometimes we can get kind of weird about finding out God's will. If it rings three times, I'll ask her out on a date. If it rings four times, I'll just ask her how her day was. And that's the way I'll know God's will. Or if I walk outside my house, don't try to figure that out, right? If I walk outside my house and the first car I see is blue, that means that God wants my wife and me to move to Dallas. All right. Now, I know that's an exaggeration, but don't we sometimes do things like that? Like we put God in this box, or if I go outside and the fleece is wet and the ground is dry. Didn't somebody do that before? Now, God graciously condescended to do that for him, didn't he? But God had already told him what to do. I mean, God was like, okay, you want to play that game? I'll play that game. But God was in no way obligated to. Did Gideon know God's moral will? Absolutely. God told him exactly what to do. Has God promised to honor fleeces for us? I don't see that. All right. And there's a lot of things that we do and we can get weird about. And sometimes, though, fleeces can be... by fleece, I mean putting a kind of test out there. If this happens, then I'm going to take this as God's will. If this doesn't, I'm going to take it as not God's will. Sometimes a fleece can just be wisdom in disguise. Okay? All right. I need to cross the street. This is just a really silly example. I need to cross the street right now. I'm going to put out a fleece as to whether it's God's will. If a car's coming, I'll stay on the sidewalk. If it's clear, I'll go. Hey, it worked, right? Okay. Now that was, yes, was that a fleece? Sure. But that was just plain old what? Wisdom. All right. And that is the way God expects us to live. So we see this wisdom principle taught in the wisdom literature. We have the whole book of Proverbs. And that's what Proverbs is all about. Skillful living. In fact, the word, the Hebrew word for wisdom is the same word that's translated skill as it applied to an artist or a workman. And it is really the skill of living a life that pleases God. Jesus commanded his servants to be wise. He said, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. The apostles modeled wisdom. You read the book of Acts, and there are some times when God says specifically, go to this place, go to that place, don't go to this place. There's other times the apostles said, we just thought it was the best thing to do. In their goal, informed by God's moral will, to preach the gospel. What we looked at in Ephesians 5, to be wise and not foolish. We also find this in Colossians 4. Paul writes, conduct yourselves with wisdom. Also, God promises wisdom through the Scripture, prayer, counselors, research, and experience. And so we're just going to, I'm going to close with this. By the way, I should have said this earlier, but a lot of this material I've adapted from a book called Decision Making in the Will of God by a guy named Gary Friesen. And I taught this as a series to the teens a while ago. It wasn't quite a year, was it, guys? Was it a year? I know that the battles remembered it. How long have you been coming here, Lynette? Since April. Okay, so it's coming. It's not quite a year. Okay, it seemed like it was a long time ago when I taught it, but they remembered it. So, but anyway, that's where this material comes from. It's not all original to me. So here are five ways. First of all, to get wisdom, ask God for it. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. God gives to everyone liberally, generously. He doesn't. He's not stingy with wisdom. He gives it when we ask for it. Search the Scriptures, and there's Scripture references for this. Psalm 19:97 through 100. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Doesn't Scripture in that passage talk about having more wisdom than my teachers because of the wisdom that God's Word gives us? Search the Scriptures. Also research. You know, the Bible gives us everything we need to know about God's moral will, and God's moral will tells us to do research when making decisions. Think about Nehemiah, and he was surveying the condition of the broken down wall. It said that he went out on his mule or horse or whatever animal it was, and he at night secretly, no one else knew he was doing this, but he took a little tour of the wall to see how bad the damage was, to see really what choices he needed to make. Joshua 2, Joshua sent out spies into the land, didn't he? He was doing some wise research so that he can find out what decisions to make. So God expects us to understand, to research our decisions in making a choice to honor Him. Consult counselors. And there's a couple ways that you can do this. You may go to a person who you know understands the Scriptures very well, and they have a very close walk with God. And maybe you're facing a decision you've never faced before. And you can go to this person, you can ask them, hey, based on your understanding of Scripture, and based on what I perceive to be your close relationship with God, do you have any insight for me on this decision I'm facing? That's one way you can do it. Or you could go to a person who you know is godly and who knows the Scripture and who has gone through something like you're facing. And you could say, hey, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, I understand that you have gone through something, faced a similar decision or a similar situation. Do you have any input for me based on your experience of the same thing? Okay. And so, yes, God's Word, especially in the book of Proverbs, does say in the multitude of counselors, there's what? There's safety. There's safety, right? And we're not lone rangers as we forge forward in our walk with the Lord. We're expected. We're encouraged. Scripture tells us to seek counselors, the wisdom of counselors, godly counselors that walk with the Lord. And finally, learn from life experiences that teach us wisdom. So those are five ways as we look at Scripture as to where we get wisdom. Understanding Proverbs 2, wisdom comes from the Lord. If this is something that you really want to grow in, I would encourage you to read the first few verses of Proverbs 2. And you can just, as you read those words, you can just sense the earnestness of the search for wisdom. As a father tells his son, okay, you want wisdom, then search for her as you would search for hidden treasures. Seek after her more even so than you would seek after silver and gold. Because it's that precious. And our lives should be characterized by an earnest pursuit of wisdom, by taking our life circumstances, saying, God, how do you want me to live? I'm not just going to fly by the seat of my pants, as it were, when it comes to life, but I'm going to take your word and say, Lord, what is the next step? As my goals in life are informed by your word, I'm going to take this step, believing this to be your will for my life. As my attitudes are being shaped by what you say my attitude should be like, I'm going to take the next step as my attitudes are informed by your word. As my perspective on life is shaped by your word, I'm going to take the next step in your moral will. And that's the way we make decisions as Christians. That's what wisdom is. I'm going to close with this. I just want to go back to this this screen that lists these. Yes, sir. Yes. Well, he's God. I think that refers to God's sovereign will. He's certainly in charge. Yeah, I think it does tie in. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And definitely within God's sovereign will, he does open doors for us of opportunity. Yeah. That's good. I'm just going to close with these. Four, and it would be good for us to really ask ourselves, are my goals being informed by God's word? Are my attitudes, are my actions, and is my perspective on life? And this is how we walk in wisdom. All right, let's close with a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed here. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for the wisdom that you give us through your word. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be diligent in applying your wisdom, your word to our lives. Lord, thank you for this series that we've had as we have focused on discipleship and these lessons that we would use to guide a new believer and even mature believers and ourselves to a closer walk with you. I pray that you would bless each one of the people that are here tonight. May we walk with you. And would you give us safety to our homes? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.